I'll tell you what, if there was one thing that brought us together when our kids were teenagers, it was prayer. I mean, what parent doesn't need God to help them raise teenagers?
And it's true, it's fun, but there's a lot of scary things going on. And I don't know about you, but man, I felt this desperation to pray to God. And we want to help you if you're going through great things with your teens and hard things with your teens.
Yeah, so we've got a prayer guide to help you pray for your teens. You can go to familylife.com/prayforteens and download the prayer guide and get on your knees and start praying.
I look at social media posts and see what all these women are doing and what happens, and at least in my brain, and I don't think I'm the anomaly. I think this is pretty part and parcel for being a woman. We see what Susie is doing and Beth is doing and Sarah is doing, and we make this like super mom. We lump all these women together in our brain, and we think it's one woman doing all of those things. And she's not only doing all of those things, she's also doing all the things we're doing. And how is it possible? Comparison will always lead us to defeat.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We have Jamie Erickson with us today, and she's going to talk about overwhelmed moms. Okay, Jamie, just to start us out, I'm going to give you 15 to 20 seconds, and I want you to just name all the things that moms are thinking about, overwhelmed moms. Oh. What's going through their heads?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready?
I'm locked and loaded.
You got a 10-second timer. Go.
Mealtimes, field trip forms, car pickup lines, laundry, work assignments, the insurance forms you have to fill out, the grocery list that's on your counter that you forgot, your friend who's having a baby and you need to buy a baby gift, your husband's work luncheon that you're supposed to make brownies for, his dry cleaning that you forgot to pick up, your teenager who's now dating someone you have never met and need to plan a dinner meet and greet with, youth group outings. I mean, the list can go on and on and on.
And you haven't even mentioned yourself.
Oh.
I need to drink something or eat something. I need to read my Bible. You haven't even mentioned that because your heart is always about everybody
else.
You know
what I noticed?
What?
The only thing you mentioned about your husband is stuff you have to do for him. Is that what we are?
No.
I was waiting for it. And love my husband.
Love my husband.
Make passionate love to my husband.
Let's rewind the tape. I'll put that number
one. Okay, put that in there.
But it is true, isn't it? I don't know if men do this, but we as women, I always have that list in my head.
Yes. It's an ongoing, ever-present brain drain that just continues to cycle in your head.
Brain drain.
Yeah.
And do you think almost all of us have it, especially, I think, even without kids, we still have it. But then you add kids to that picture.
I think women are wired that way. But like you said, when you add kids and then the more kids you have, I don't necessarily know it just adds. I think it multiplies.
Hence the title, Overwhelmed Mom.
Yeah.
The subtitle is Quiet the Chaos, Mind What Matters, and Enjoy Your Life Again. And I think a lot of us as women, as moms, are thinking, I don't have time to enjoy my life because I'm so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how to find joy because I'm so overwhelmed. As I was reading your book, I was struck by your Tuesday night making tacos.
Mm. And you remember that?
Yes, very acutely.
Take us back to that, because I think so many of us as women are dealing with stuff that's not easy. So take us back to that night that you're making tacos.
So I was standing in my kitchen, shoving fistfuls of lettuce and cheese into taco shells, hoping to, you know, bless my family. And all the while, I'm sending a video message to three very dear friends of mine with tears coming down my eyes, kind of rehearsing and recalling the last year. This was in 2022. And I have had some very overwhelming seasons in my life, but this year there was just something different about 2022. It started when my husband works at home for himself, and one of his biggest clients decided to pull the plug on their relationship, and that sent our finances into a tailspin for about 6 months. Just after that, my mother's dementia diagnosis increased rapidly, and she no longer recognized me when I called her. And so the emotional, physical, even financial toll of that was hard on all of her daughters, including me. One of my older sisters, who was like a second mother to me my whole life, lost her 7-year battle with cancer. And I was tasked to give the eulogy at her funeral. In order to get to that funeral, we purchased a car. And 2 months later, my husband hit a deer with it, and the car was totaled. There was a loophole in our insurance policy that rendered our losses very great, and we wouldn't be fully reimbursed. And this was our only car, not just any car. It was our only car. And, you know, the hits just kept coming, you know, one blow after another in 2022. And so as I was standing at the kitchen that morning or that evening making tacos, just pouring my heart out to my friends in desperation. Yes, all of those things happened, but I could not see past any of those things to even some of the hits of the year. You know, I was recalling my year in such a way that was amplifying all of those tragedies because that's all I could see. And I couldn't see the gifts and the blessings that God did bring that year. And so that was that evening of just tears over tacos.
And that right there is really easy to slip into all the negative, to see all the negative. I've been there. So how do we find the good when we feel so overwhelmed and burdened with the hard?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that we have to think about is how, and you said it, how we narrate our lives really does matter. When we forecast doom by only talking about all the things that are hard, we basically step into that. What you narrate about your life, you will step into. And I'm not saying there isn't a time or a place or specific people that we can share our concerns. Obviously, I was sharing my concerns with three women that I knew for a fact would pray for me, would call me, exhort me to walk faithful in the areas of my life that I could walk faithful and be steadfast in. But I think in our cultural moment, there is this like, I'm a hot mess mommy, and I'm just, I'm distress dumping on everyone, all the chaotic parts of my life, without realizing, one, the destruction that that's actually causing in your life.
What do you mean by that?
Because you will step into the story that you tell about yourself. If I'm only ever talking about all of the negative and never, ever seeing the good that God has put in front of me, that's where I'm going to stay. You step into the story that you write.
We just wrote a book, and one of the stats I said was that 85% of our thoughts are negative and 95% of our thoughts are repetitive. So think about that. When Paul says to take our thoughts captive and that we're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that makes sense then. Like, I have to fight against what you're saying. And I love that even the title of that chapter, Narrate a Good Story.
Yeah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs said. So you can actually bring life to your overwhelming days when things feel fractured and broken and bitter and bruised. You have the power of words to flip the script.
What's that look like? How do you do that?
Well, I think one, it's know who to take your concerns to. First and foremost, are you putting them at the feet of Jesus, the one who can actually do something about it, and doing that proactively? And then, are you gathering a community of other women? God has designed the church, and I mean like you and me, the church, not necessarily a building, for that purpose. And I think when we're looking for those people who can stand shoulder to shoulder with us and for us and like be the person standing in the gap on behalf of us, our families, our kids, that's who we should be looking to, our other women within our local body of believers that God has put right in front of us.
I say that all the time. As a woman, and maybe men are like this too, Dave, you'll have to say that. I always need somebody ahead of me, beside me, and behind me. Mm-hmm. No matter how old you are, you have somebody behind you in age who are discouraged and they're walking through maybe what you did walk
That's
through.
Right.
It's exactly what you're saying. Man, but that feeds your soul.
Mothers, sisters, and daughters
yes.
in the faith
yes.
is what I always say. And I think you're right. Every woman needs an example of each one of those relationships in her life.
Do you have that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At our church, we did a series on discipleship called The Color of Your Dishes. My son wrote the series. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this color your dishes idea when he came in to pitch the series? He goes, well, when you're in relationship and discipleship, you know the color of the dishes of your
yeah.
mentor. You're in their house. You're not just at a coffee shop or reading their book, you're mm-hmm. sitting in their house watching them discipline their kids, watching them
that's
roll
right.
around in the backyard with their on a trampoline with their kids. I'm like, that's good. How do overwhelmed moms do that with other overwhelmed moms? Do you do it?
Yes. Well, to your point, I often say those are my bathing suit moms. Like, they've seen me in a bathing suit. That's the kind of relationship that we have.
Yeah.
Things are real.
Yeah.
Yes. In different seasons, it has looked differently. When I had young kids at home, it was play dates. We would get together with other moms, mm-hmm. both in my same season, but also moms. I remember specifically, there was a mom in our church that her kids were just a few years older and she had a teenage son. And my youngest at the time was still in diapers, I think. She graciously invited me. I was a worn out, wrung out mom of, I think at the time I had four kids. And she saw that deer in the headlights, just desperation in my eyes one day at church. We barely knew each other, but she extended this gracious invitation to come have coffee on her porch, bring the kids. And I know she must have whispered to her son, she's got a lot of boys and I want you to be helpful today. Mm. Because that young man, he was maybe 13 years old, took my sons in a little red wagon all around the property, just entertaining them for a couple hours so that she and I could just have just a lovely conversation. It wasn't necessarily here's some wise sage advice. It was just, I see you. Mm. And you know, years later, God brought that young man. He's now an adult, married. He brought that young man into my son's lives again, returning again in their life. And now he's a mentor, leads them in youth group and disciples them. What a kind gift that was to me. A mom who was just a little bit older, who wasn't just standing in the grocery store aisle saying, cherish this time because it'll go by so fast. Of course we want to cherish it. Of course we want to love
course.
This time. But I need help. Right now, practical hands and feet care. So I would encourage you, if you're on the other end of that spectrum, like I am, where, you know, I have teens and young adults, I'm still mothering and my kids still need me. They just need me maybe in less relentless ways. I'm not in the mom heavy years anymore, that I remember what those years felt like, where I felt like somebody had just put me in a veggie peeler.
It's a great illustration.
And so I don't do this perfectly, but I am very well aware of those women in our church and try to the best of my ability, provide actual practical help for them.
This is a great conversation, but before we continue, let me say this. We meet a ton of couples who say family life helped them when they needed it the most. And that's what being a family life partner is all about, helping others find that same encouragement and tools that you found right here.
And we'd love for you to join us. So click the donate button at familylifetoday.com and become a partner today.
I want you two to talk to the husbands.
Sure.
Because I'm hearing that story, I'm like, that's so beautiful what she did, even her son. And I think a lot of us guys who are, and I'm literally thinking of the husband who's married to a woman in that stage. They're in the, what do you call it, peeler?
Feel like you're in a veggie peeler. Yeah.
You're living in that time, that season of your marriage, because, mm-hmm. you know, we've all been there. Coach up the men. How would we as husbands, what do you need from us? How could we help?
One thing that I credit this to my husband, we did have a conversation about it, but one thing that I really appreciated him doing is when he got off work every day, he had about a 15-minute drive to just cast off the burdens of that, of what he just did at work, and reset and reframe his mind to for re-entry into our home. I didn't have that luxury because my work, home, play spaces were all souped together.
And it never ended.
Yeah. So he was really conscious in those early years of coming in the door, sloughing off his briefcase to the side and gathering. At the time, we had a bunch of boys, still do, but they were very little. He'd gather them all in the living room and they would just start wrestling. And they would wrestle for about 15 minutes. And it got to the point where, you know, they got so hot and sweaty, they were peeling off clothes. And eventually it was just one big pile of underpants in the middle of the living room floor going
at it. How many boys do you have?
I have four boys. The oldest is a girl.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So he would give at least 15, 20 minutes of undivided attention to the kids, which only benefited them because, of course, he was the anomaly, the new fun thing in the room. So they wanted to be with him, but it allowed me to just, you know, go in the kitchen and sip some tea for a minute, maybe brush my hair, throw on a little lip gloss so I could feel like a person again. And so that was like my drive home reboot that I needed so that I could shift from, you know, being the enforcer with all my kids to being a wife that like loved him and was excited to see him and could find joy again.
Dave did that same thing. We have three sons. I can remember when he shifted that as well. Like he came in and he was so fun. And you know what I did? I went and worked out. Not when they were super little, but when they were old enough that Dave could like wrestle with them, yeah, and play with them. I just thought, I need this for my sanity. It's part of who I am. I got a good workout in. And I would come home and they would be a sweaty mess.
Yeah.
Like so sweaty, so tired. Their faces would be beet red. And Dave still does it with our grandsons. And I'll tell our sons, we have four grandsons, like the boys need a sweat, a good sweat,
yeah,
every day. What do girls need?
From dad?
Yeah.
Undivided attention, a listening ear, and physical affection. In appropriate ways.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I would just say, you know, if you're a husband listening and a dad, you know, because I didn't do that initially when we first had kids. I would be driving home and I had to make the shift your husband made, mm-hmm, but I hadn't gotten there yet. I felt like when I walked in the door, I had a hard day.
Yeah.
You don't understand what I've been doing all day. Of course, mm-hmm, I don't understand what she's been doing. But I was so selfish. I was like, give me a break rather than throw me a baby,
right.
You know, and I had to make a shift. Like, guess what? My most important job is when I walk in that door, mm-hmm, just like your husband does, mm-hmm, on the drive home. I had to shift the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I had a hard day. I bet you hers was harder, but even if it wasn't, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I am called to disciple this family. It's more important than the job I just left. And I'm a minister. So, you know, those people matter, but they don't matter as much as these people. And you have to make that shift that sounds like your husband did. And that's what your wife is longing for. Come in and be my partner, right?
And I think if we're both considering the interest of others, as mm-hmm, scripture says, all of that will get done. And it won't be a, well, you did that, yeah, this, but I did that. You had this day, but let me tell you about the day I had.
Oh, I did that.
You know,
like,
yeah,
your
day was harder.
I would say you ate lunch by, like, with a friend.
Right.
Like, what was that like?
Was that
like,
conversation? Just in quiet?
Then you're like lying, like, oh, no, I didn't really eat
you went
lunch.
To the bathroom by yourself?
Without little hands sticking underneath?
Yes.
Calling for your attention.
Talk about, because I thought this was funny, your little Pinterest time in 2010.
Yeah, well, Pinterest was launched in 2010.
Right.
Some may not remember it because it was a subtle launch. It was just like boots on the ground, grassroots advertising. But those of us who did latch onto it, we reached for just the sinful superlatives that Eve reached for. You know, like God gave her what is good, but she wanted better and best. So every single title, the clickbait titles of like five of the best fall soups, you know, you can make eight perfect spiralized zucchini spaghetti recipes. And here they all are. And I hopped on that train full force.
So how old were your kids then?
Four under five. That is not the time
and
to
this
start.
This is a great diversion though.
Yes.
With kids those age, you're looking like, I need a little something.
Right. And I think there is something to continuing education as a mom.
Absolutely.
And continuing to either increase in a skill that you already have learned or learn a new skill that will kind of help alleviate some of the overwhelm that you're feeling when you feel like, I can't do this.
It'll pick me up.
Right, exactly. And so I reach for all of the things. When we're talking about overwhelm for a mom, I think there's three reasons why we are overwhelmed, and that comparison, when we look at other women and all those women on Pinterest who are adding to their boards of, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you should be too. And we hear this chorus of bossy online voices telling us what we should and would be doing. We keep adding to our plate of things that maybe are not ours to do. Some of my overwhelm was self-inflicted. I did the Amish friendship bread. I started making quilts. I started gardening, not just a gardener, a farmer, and grow all my own organic food.
We're having a garden.
That's
we're
going right.
to do a garden. Kids can learn from this.
I'm going to make everything from scratch. Yeah, I fell for all the clickbait titles, and boy, was I overwhelmed.
You just have to share, like, even your quilting thing.
Yeah, I learned how to quilt. I actually did have a lovely woman, my same age, knew how to quilt. And I looked to her and her beautiful quilts and thought, well, that's what I should be doing too. So she taught me how to quilt. But then I looked on Pinterest and found patterns. And I was so naive. I picked out colors that I liked, which were red and green. If you put those two colors together on a quilt, you have a Christmas quilt that can only be used at Christmas. So I do have one lovely quilt I made all the way through. I have many.
Way to go. I'm impressed.
Many half started, not done quilts, but I did finish one, and it was relegated to the Christmas box because of my red and green.
But as a result of that, I think even more so now, because there are so many platforms
right.
that we can jump on, so much comparison. How do we navigate that? Like, how are these women, these young women, I'm thinking of even when I would nurse our babies, I would just pray in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Now it's so easy, like you're nursing your baby, you're just scrolling on your phone.
Right.
So how do we not become overwhelmed, and how do we distinguish what's good and what's not?
Well, I think you're right. You know, statistics tell us that women especially spend over 4 hours on their phones, doing, you know, social media, various things, email,
daily.
Whatever, daily, every day. So when you add that up, that's over 24 hours.
I mean, I do that. I'm listening to stuff.
Yep.
I bet I have that.
When those voices that you're letting in social media, on Pinterest, in emails, wherever you get your content and your media, when you allow those voices to have a bigger volume in your life than, let's say, the still small voice of God, mm-hmm. and you're reaching for better and best and adding more and more to your plate. And you feel this overwhelm because now you're, here's the thing about social media. I'm just going to interrupt my own thought. When you see a woman and most of my ministry is done online. So I have seen the underbelly
yeah.
of social media. I can tell you when you're looking at a social media post by a woman, you see what she is doing. You don't see what she's not doing. I look at social media posts and see what all these women are doing and what happens. And at least in my brain, and I don't think I'm the anomaly. I think this is pretty part and parcel for being a woman. We see what Susie is doing and Beth is doing and Sarah is doing. And we make this like super mom. We lump all these women together in our brain. And we think it's one woman doing all of those things. And she's not only doing all of those things, she's also doing all the things we're doing.
Yeah.
And how is it possible?
And she's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Fit.
Very
and
put
she
together.
Looks, oh, incredible.
Has a wonderful relationship with her husband 24 hours a day. And her children are very obedient. They're rescuing trapped kittens from trees while our kid is like guzzling down the milk in the open jug.
Out of the jug.
Yeah. Comparison will always lead us to defeat.
How do we navigate that? Like, have you shut some of that stuff out and down?
Absolutely. I take social media sabbaticals for myself, for my own mental space, my own spiritual space, and just say, and it's not enough, I don't think, of just shutting it down. You can't just remove something because then you've left a vacuum for something else
yeah.
equally as harmful to fill. You have to turn and pivot and listen to the voice that matters most. So during those social media sabbaticals, it's not like I just turn off social media. It's, I'm going to use this time in very proactive ways by feasting on God's word and filling my mind with what is good and true and rich about him.
This is a great conversation with Jamie Erickson and super practical, which I always like, especially for moms that do feel overwhelmed.
I knew you were looking forward to this. And there's so many moms that listen and watch.
Yeah.
This is going to be really helpful. So get her book, Overwhelmed Mom, familylifetoday.com. It's there in our show notes. Just click the link and pick it up. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.